Let's just pray for the churches. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your hand, Lord, upon the churches here in this town. Lord, we just pray, Father, you just continue, Lord, to pour in your love and your goodness and your strength, Lord, and your encouragement, Father, and your enthusiasm into the hearts of the people, that they would stand with their ministers, stand with their leaders, that they would come into a place of unity, Father, because of your Holy Spirit in their lives. And Lord, that you would just enable them, Father, Lord, to find, Lord, a new expression, Father, Lord, and a new way, Father, Lord, of actually just allowing you to flow in and through them and their church life. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about developing endurance. And the reason I want to talk about developing endurance is so that we push past what we are uncomfortable doing in God. And it's the biggest thing. It's like, is God really saying this? Is God really speaking to me? It's like, if I do this, will this make a fool of me? You know, and there's a lot of things that, you know, we hold back from just because of, you know, what we think it might look like to people. I think that was great, Pauline, coming up here and singing that today. I think that was great, and Barry and one or two others. And I nearly got up here because I had a whole lot of phrases starting to come to me. I thought, we can just sing a whole lots of things. No, I'm being changed, you know. Change me, Lord, whatever. Just there was a whole lot of things, and we can just begin to sing that. And, you know, Nikki and I, we talked about this just again recently, and I was actually talking with this with Ben Martin, and, you know, it's just amazing when church just breaks out. Yeah. I mean, sometimes we want to come here, and Nikki says, let's just do this, and Ben was keen to do it. He says, let's just go real radical, and it's like, yeah, church just isn't always ready just to go all radical. And so, I know, because I've been part of church that is just knows what it is to be free and liberating. And so, you know, just about to worship God, you know, and then come 12 o'clock, well, we better stop and go home or whatever and let people go, or 1 o'clock or whatever, you know, and then feeling a bit bad because after about 3 weeks you haven't preached, you know, I think maybe I should preach for 10 minutes and say something. And people say, wow, that must be boring. It's not boring. It's like all sorts of expressions like what we do here. And it doesn't stay the same. It just changes and changes and changes. And it's just so fascinating, you know. But when we're not open to move in the Holy Spirit, when we're not prepared just to abandon, you know, we can sit there and thinking, oh, you know, why can't we just sing a song and get into something and focus on, you see, and we allow this whole religious thing to come in, and that we have to do something so that we don't feel awkward, or we are genuinely bored because we just sit there because we're not open. And I've seen people, I mean, I used to say to one couple, it's like, what do you come to church for? Why don't you just stay at home? They used to come, and they were great serving cups of teas and everything, but they used to just sit there in church like this, in their seat, for about 2 hours, 2.5 hours, while the church was jumping around and having a great time, and they used to just sit there. And I'm thinking, what do you come every week for? Why do you come? I remember asking them, then I used to take a home group up in their place and try to get her filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, and she didn't want to fall down and do all the things that everybody else did. She said, I'll make a fool of myself, and all of that sort of stuff. And so I'd get people that had fell down and all sorts of things that happened to them just to talk to them. They said, no, it's the most amazing things, you know, it's just awesome, it's awesome. And she said, oh no, I don't want to feel all like that. And after praying for her for about 3 months continually for be filled with the Holy Spirit, she rang me up one day and she said, oh, I was up vacuuming up the other end of the house, and all of a sudden all these stupid words fell out of my mouth. She said, and I rushed to the window to look out, so I thought someone outside will have heard me and they'll think I'm an idiot, you know. And then she rushed around the house to make sure no one was in the house, and they heard all these stupid words fall out of her mouth. I says, it's called speaking in tongues. And then it happened to her again while she was up in the kitchen doing everything, and she was so embarrassed, but she actually shut it down. She stopped it. She just stopped. She said, oh no, it's just terrible. That's awful. It's just like she's not in control. Yeah. And it's like, this is what we're praying for. Anyway, she's still in the church and still going, doing great things, sort of. Anyway, you know, so, I mean, but some people just like to be there. I'm thinking, really? You just like some move the rock? you know, that sits there week after week. But they loved it, you know. And so, you know, if you want to step into the freedom and really just let God go, you've got to say, yeah, I want this, God. Yeah. And you've got to be able to abandon. You have to be able to abandon and just let God be God. And I can't say to you what the service will look like, because I'm not going to try and put on you what God's done in the past, because God's always doing new. He's always moving forward. And so we don't want to try and say this is what it will look like, because we don't know what it looks like. But it's always fun and it's always exciting to be able to do that. And so we just need to step into this. And so I want to talk about endurance, because in our spiritual walk this year, I want us to continually address our dependency on our own ability and thinking. We have this ability to justify the things that have no eternal value. So, I'm busy, I've got to do this, and my mind's full of this and this and this. And we can fill up our whole life and our mind and everything with all the things that have no eternal value. Just reading some more things in the Word this week about, you know, just it's all going to disappear. This has no value at all. A lot of the stuff of this world. Everything that we are building for this world and for this life actually has no eternal value and won't last. So we need to be able to push past the problems, the trials, and other circumstances that we face in life to step into the freedom and the expression of ministry that God has for us. Does anyone like my shirt today? I got this new shirt. It's like my daughter, it's my Christmas present, and my daughter's just given it to me because she's come back from England and Europe, and they've been away over there for Christmas. And she said, Dad, this is the most trendy shirt, and you have to wear it. Yeah. So I'm wearing it. I don't know where she bought it, in England or Prague or wherever she was, some of these places she was at, but anyway, she put it on. It doesn't feel actually quite right. I don't know, English, I think, are built different. Sorry if you're English or whatever. But anyway, I'm wearing it, so yeah, keep her happy and make me look flowery. So I want to continue to strip back all of the religious thinking that seems to attach itself to our thinking. And that's what I wanted to do today as we look at developing endurance. I want to speak about endurance, where it comes from, where endurance comes from. How do we get this endurance? Where does it actually come from? The ability to push through. And the ability, you know, we all know what endurance is. You know, persevering, overcoming, getting through, you know, not quitting. Where it comes from, what it does, and why we need it. These are some of the things I want to look at today. And so, in Psalms 136 here, in verses 1 through to 28, they're all the same. 1 to 26, is it? And you can look up enduring, just look up God enduring, and you will just see untold verses about God's love endures. But this whole chapter says one statement: God, give thanks to God, for he is good, his faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to God, the God of gods, his faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, his love. And it goes right down through. And so we'll go to verses 23. He remembered us in our weakness. His faithful love endures forever. He saved us from our enemies. His faithful love endures forever. He gives food to every living thing. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His faithful love endures forever. They're one-liners all the way through for 26 verses, saying his faithful love endures forever. We need to understand that God's faithful love endures everything that we throw at it. God's faithful, enduring love overcomes and pushes past and pushes out of the way all of our sin, all of our faults, all of our struggles, everything that we try to overcome and try to get on top of and then fail, all of our shame, all of our hurt. God's love just pushes through all of that. When we don't feel we're worthy enough, when we don't feel we're good enough, God's faithful love endures and it pushes through that and it says, yes, you are. Listen to me. Yes, you are. It's like, no, God, I'm not good enough. You know, we get up and we kick ourselves and we don't feel good about ourselves, and yet God's love just keeps pushing through. enduring. And even though sometimes we shove them away and we want to hide because we feel shame, and sometimes when we reject God, sometimes when, you know, everything's going wrong and we lose the plot and then we feel really bad, God still says, I believe in you. His love endures everything we throw at it. And I want to say this today because at the basis of everything is God's love. At the basis of everything is God's love. That means he perseveres with people who continually fail in their desire to serve him. He perseveres. He doesn't quit on us. Bible says Jesus or God or the Holy Spirit is long-suffering, that none would perish. That means he just keeps coming back and keeps coming back and keeps coming back. It means his love looks past the sin, the shame, the failings, and believes in what we can be. It endures. And regardless of what we're going through, his love refuses to give up on us. His love refuses to give up on us. People talk about fearing God and how he punishes people who do wrong. And we read through this, and God did this, and God did this. And we see all this stuff. And so we have this feeling, you know, that God's going to punish us and that he's not happy with us and all of those things. But the real thing here is that it's a wrong perspective. It's not who God is. God is a God of love. His love endures through everything. God doesn't hate people. He loves them. We bring consequences on ourselves by our choices, which means God has put in place, which cannot be changed, things that if you do this, this is what's going to happen. But if you do this, these good things will happen. And we get to choose. And it's like gravity. God says, God has given us gravity. And if you jump off the roof of the house, you will go down and not go up. That's it. That's a consequence of jumping off the roof of the house. And the higher you jump, the worse the consequence. But it's a choice. And so God put things in place. And he does it for a reason. You see, right back when God chose his people. So once upon a time, there was no people that God, a race of people, the Jews or Israel, they didn't exist. There was Abraham, and he spoke over Abraham, and he said, you're going to be a father of a whole nation. Out of your loins, Abraham, I am going to make a whole nation. And he did that with everybody. I mean, the Moabites, they come out of Moab, you know, and on and on. And so Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons. And God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And then those 12 sons become the 12 tribes of Israel. And then a nation was born. And from then on, you don't hear about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You hear about Israel. Because there was no person after that. There was, because now he'd formed the nation. But in forming, God choosing a people, and here they are, he's bringing them out of a wilderness, and he's going to give them a nation, he's going to give them a land, he's going to give them inheritance, and he gives them these laws. And he gives them these laws as a safeguard, boundaries. So if you go too far this way, bang, you've got to come back. You go this way, and he did this because the Bible says that the heart of man was continually wicked in the days of Noah. So he created man to bless them and to multiply and to do all good things. But because there was no boundaries, the Bible says that sin come into man's heart. And it just went worse and worse. And there was no consequences. Until the whole world, the men, everybody in the world, it says their hearts were continually wicked. So how does God speak to a heart that is just continually wicked? And so he destroyed everybody bar Noah and started again. But he said, I don't want this to happen. So if this person goes down this way and they're going to be doing bad things, knock them on the head and get rid of them, because they're going to lead everyone else astray or stone them or do whatever. There has to be a consequence. And sometimes God got the people to deal to them. Sometimes God dealt to them himself, just consumed them, destroyed them by fire, did whatever, opened up the earth, swallowed them, whatever. Other times you got people to run them through, make them drink all of the stuff they made under idols and whatever else. But the thing was, there was consequences for things. Not everybody had to die, but if it was bad enough, it's like, this needs to be removed. The leaven needs to be removed. Otherwise, it's going to leaven the whole lump and the whole thing's going to go bad. So we have to remove it. That's what he did. And it's just like, so if you go this too far this way. And so people got to know, what? We better not go too far that way. And it enabled it until Jesus Christ come. Now, God loved the world so much. He loved the world so much that he gave his only son. Greater love had no man than this. He laid down his life for a friend. The ultimate in love is for you to lay down your life for a friend. I'm just establishing love here as enduring. I'm just showing you that, because if we don't understand how much God loves us, we always keep him at bay. We always feel, well, yeah, he might let us down. Well, it mightn't work out this way. Well, and in our past, we'll look at church life and we'll look at Christians and we'll see godly men and women who have fallen. We'll see things go wrong in churches. You know, and we think, well, you know, and I heard this and this happened and all. And we'll see all these things. But that's got nothing to do. That's flesh. That's got nothing to do with God's heart and desire. Yet God comes back to them and says he will pick them up at any time. If people are willing to repent and to come back, and he just like, I want you back. The prodigal son, he was out there every day watching, looking, longing for him to come back. And I've heard people say, heard people in this church say, God was really dumb. That's the dumbest father I've ever seen, having all this wealth, giving it to a son to go away and do that. What sort of a father would do that? Well, God gives you a free choice. Because it has meaning when somebody comes back to praise you out of free choice, out of free will. And so he gives us a free choice. And he gave this prodigal son free choice. And he chose to go away with all this stuff. And he wasted it all and found out that everybody wanted his money and everything. And then all the friends were gone. And then he's in the pig pen. But God's still out there looking because he loves. Regardless of where he's gone. And there he is coming down the road. And he smells like a pig pen, and he runs out and he hugs him and he kisses him and he says, look, here's my ring, here's my clothes, here's my whatever, put them on. You're my son. Now, I'm not worthy. I'll just be a servant. No, you are my son. That's love. That's our God. His faithful love endures. It's like, I don't care. He's run away and spent half my inheritance, but I can't wait for him to come back because I just want him back in my home. You're my son. And we have to understand, that's God's heart. And he loved the world so much, he gave his only son, knowing that they're going to reject him. Giving his only son to his own chosen people, knowing that his own chosen people would reject him and crucify him and do horrible things to him and hang him on a cross. Knowing all of that, he said, I'm still giving my son because I love you that much. That's God's faithful love that endures forever. At the very base of everything, there is this love that enables us to look at things differently. God sees things differently to you and I because he sees the good in you. He sees what he knows you can be if you will allow him to love your heart and to heal the things in your life and push past those things that are in your life so that you can fulfill everything he has for you. Because he has a dream and a desire, a plan and a purpose, and you fit into that. But we struggle with a whole lot of things, and so we withhold. We take control of our life because of fear, because of things that we've seen, and God says, no. It's like, no, believe, I want to do this. Let me do this for you. It'd be really good if we could just hear him sometimes saying, no, don't do that choice. No, go with this choice. Go with this one. It's like, and we're sitting there with their business, with their school, with their family, with all our work, with all these sort of things. And we're working out, so, oh, do this. And we're struggling with things. And you say, no. And we think, oh, now, if God would come through, but I don't think he's going to come through. Yes, I will, he'll be saying. I can do this. Let me be God. And God loves to do the supernatural. God loves to do the miraculous. God loves to do the impossible. God loves to make things work out in ways that we can never make things work out. That's who he is. And we just have to hear sometimes. And the best way to hear, above everything else you will hear, is the peace of God. When you're feeling a bit troubled, you know, and you're not comfortable with something, don't go there. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep you and guide you. And there is a peace in God that when you're doing something, you feel good. And there's a whole lot of things. Steve rang me up there a while ago, or sent me an email and said, you know, we need a plan for upstairs, colours, like patterns on here, you see, because we've changed everything a wee bit. And so I was here doing all these other things. I thought, right, I need to go. I just got to go up there and get this thing done once and for all. Got to draw this colour so we can put it out and order all the stuff so we can get all the wall coverings done. So I just went up there and I just sat there for about an hour, walked around, talked to God about it. It's just like, right, God, what do we want to do here? And it's just like, and then I put colours here, there, and whatever. And it's just like, no, I need to put this there. And I just sat there and I just says, God, I'm just letting this what sits well with me. And then I come down, stairs here into my office, drew up all the things, and I'm thinking, I'll just go back up and have a look at that. So go back up in there. So it took me nearly 2 hours one night. Jack and them had all been to youth, come back, and Rach come in. What are you still doing here, Wayne? What are you still doing here, Pastor? Actually, I'm organising the Sunday school wall coverings. It's not my forte, but when I finished, it's like, I feel good about this. I think I might have said that through to Steve. I feel good about this. Now, I could have put a blue there. I have one other thing. I'm not complicating this because there is pictures going to go up on it. But I felt good. That's how I did it. It's like, is this right? And you just feel good. I just walked around and I just allowed my spirit. I'm thinking, God, you're a great designer of things. So when you go up there and all the wall covering, just say, wow, so that's God. That's how God does things. But you can invite God into different things when it's beyond you. When it's not your forte or your ability, sometimes we just see decisions have to be made. We all know this in our work. Some of us are bosses, you know, some of us got our own businesses. Sometimes we've got people underneath us and all sorts of, just family. Sometimes we have to make decisions and we just need a piece sometimes, you know. And my wife always gets on to me because you're not talking to me. It's like, I'm thinking, I'm waiting, you know. Sometimes it's just like you just need to sleep on some things. Sometimes you just need, it's like, yep, this is what we're doing. But then I just sit on that and it's like, no, I'm going to change this. And then we're going to do this. And that's how I do things. I'm not saying that's how you have to do it, but we've got to learn how to operate. Sometimes people can do it quicker. Sometimes God will see things. But if God's not speaking to you prophetically, dream, picture, whatever, and you don't know how to do anything, go by the peace. Go by just the feeling. It's like when you feel good about it, it's like that will do. That will be okay. So God loved the whole world so much and still does that he gave his only son. So God's faithful love endures forever. So what does God's enduring love look like when it's in us? 1 Corinthians 13:7 says this. Love never gives up. That's endurance. Love never loses faith. It's your faith that's always tested. It's your faith that has to push through, always. Everything in Scripture is your faith being tested. Love never loses faith. It always believes through. When your faith is being tested, love always pushes through. Love is always hopeful. Maybe we should say this. Love never gives up. Say never.
Never.
Never gives up. Never loses faith. Say never again.
Never again.
It always is hopeful. Say always.
Always.
And endures through every circumstance. Say endures.
Endures.
So love endures through every circumstance. That's why when we get married, we love one another. And doesn't matter what argument we have and what happens in our life, love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful. I'm taking some people through pre-marriage stuff and they'll be getting a bit of this. You know, guy says to me the other day, won't name anybody, he says, we sat down, we talked about a husband's responsibility and a few other things and whatever, and he says, I don't know if I'm ready for marriage. I don't know. And he's looking at me and he's like, this is straight up. And he is as serious as he says, I don't know if I'm up for this. I don't know if I'm ready for this. It's like, yeah, you know how to push through. You can do this, you know. But we're being real. We're talking about the real stuff, you see. And love never gives up, doesn't. Love never loses faith. Believes in one another. Believes in God. And so Here is God. This is God. We just see God is love. So now you're looking at God never gives up. He never loses faith. He's always hopeful, and he endures through every circumstance that is thrown at him. That's God. That's just in that one verse of love alone. That's who God is. And so when we catch the heart of God, we're starting to see how we can push through. What does God's love look like inside of us? It looks at things different. See how God looks at things different. The big thing with rose-colored glasses, we'll say, you know, when we look at things through our lens, our own lens, is it distorts things. And so if we are hurting, and then we come in to face some problems and some trials, next minute we are feeling rejected. We are feeling hurt again. We are, this is getting thrown at us again. So-and-so doesn't like us. So and whatever. It's like, why does this like God? God's punishing me. And we start looking at things from hurtful glasses. If we're legalistic and we're thinking, no, well, everything has to be like this, this, and this, and we start looking at problems and trials, we'll be saying, that's wrong. We become judgmental. We say, they shouldn't be doing that. We start to criticize people. We start to make judgments about people and about things. That means we're looking through legalistic lenses. You see? And so this is the problem that we have when we see things that, or trials or problems or circumstances in life, and we're looking at things from our struggles, we see things differently. But when God's love comes into our heart, we start looking at never giving up, never losing faith. I believe in that person. We start to see that, wow, we can do this. We can overcome this problem. Hope comes in. You know, hope is the anchor of the soul. It's not a negative. It's not less than faith. Sometimes you've got to be able to see that there is a way out. You've got to know the biggest thing that Christians take for granted is when they're going through hard things, and after a while you've been a Christian for a while, you forget what it's like having God on your side. You get familiar with it until God's not there, and then you realize there's no hope. And so people who don't have God in their life or some form of faith in their life, some people believe in other things, see, depression will take them into some bad places and they give up and they quit. But when you've got hope, when you've got a reason for living, it doesn't matter. In fact, I'm just looking at some more scriptures, and if I've got time, I'll look at something today. Bible talks about the poor having more in God than the rich ever will. It's not the doctrine that we hear. The doctrine that we hear is about God wants to bless, 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 but we misinterpret blessing. We misinterpret what God means by blessing. But I'll show you heaps of scriptures about God loves the poor, because, and he says they will inherit the earth. And even when you look at the apostles and different things, it's like they said, we had nothing. We had no money. We had nothing, but we had everything to give. Because they had Jesus. They had God, and they were serving, and their life was about them, and they were laying up treasures and wealth in heaven that you and I will never be able to fully comprehend until we get there. So every one of these statements here in this verse describes endurance. God wants us to develop endurance, and the biggest ingredient in endurance is love. The love of God in us enables us, as I says, to see things differently. Love gives us a different perspective on everything. Love never loses faith. Faith is important as it sees and believes Scripture and all that God is. Faith is important. Because it sees, it's like, it looks at that and says, this is what the scripture says I need to do. And so faith grabs a hold of that and says, right, I'm going to put my trust in that. I'm going to believe God that he's going to do that because he said he will do that. And love, behind all of that, never loses faith. It says, yes. See, there's a relationship in God that enables us to have strong faith. And it's born out of love. Is born out of a belief and an understanding and a comfort and someone who's there to hold your hand. And when you know that someone is there to hold your hand and believe in you, it gives you faith. It gives you courage and strength to go on. And so faith is important as it sees and believes Scripture. It looks at, that's where faith comes into. Faith comes into its own when it reads the Word of God or hears God speak prophetically or show you something prophetically, and it grabs a hold of that and it says, I'm going with that. It puts everything into that. When our faith is tested, it's testing our belief in God, our belief in the scripture, our belief in the word. And God says, I hold my word above my own name. And so faith, when our faith's being tested, it's like, can I really believe that God will do what he says, that he will be there for me? And then something goes wrong and doesn't work out the way that we think. And so it's like, nope, God let me down. But it's like, that's your perspective again. And the biggest thing that has to change is our perspective. And we've got to begin to see things through God's eyes and how he sees things. Love is the engine, the life that empowers faith. Love never gives up. Love is always hopeful. Seen all that, need to move on. We're only shaken in our faith and our hope when we move away from our first love. The Bible talks about our first love. You know when you fell in love and it's like, oh, she's lovely. Everybody says, really? Yep, she's amazing. Really? Yeah, she's the most amazing person in the world. I was listening to, watching a thing just recently, and this guy was introducing his wife and saying how she was the most beautiful woman in the whole world. And I've met her, got round, she's about that high. We're over in Israel with her. And I was thinking, really? Okay. And I'm thinking, he's in love with his wife. She's amazing. You know, and so our first love, when we lose our first love, our faith in that person then is shaken. And when we lose our first love with God, our love for God, our faith then is shaken. And it's like our confidence then is gone. And it's like that God would speak to us and talk to us and be there for us and help us through all of that goes. And it just takes a few problems, a few circumstances, and our eyes shift and we try to solve and resolve. And then suddenly it's not working out and we've moved away from trusting God and doing it God's way to doing it this way. And there's nothing wrong something with learning some of these things. It's not, we're not bad. It's like, it's just about growing. So when our relationship is strong, our faith is strong. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, 1 to 4, and I need to move on. We read this a wee while ago, so I'll just skim over this quickly. About a month ago, we read over there. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. It's an undeserved privilege, it's a gift. Here we are here, we just need to accept it. Where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Then it says we can rejoice too. That means we've got to rejoice too when we are in problems and trials. For we know they help us develop endurance. And we looked at that. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Paul is saying rejoice in problems. Problems help us to endure, press through. Put us in a place we would never find God because we're too busy enduring life and too busy enjoying life and all the pleasures that it has. And so we forget about God and then things go wrong and we come back to God and we begin to push through, press through, and we go after God. And endurance does that, brings us to God. So this strengthens our confidence and hope in God. Endurance and pressing through strengthens our confidence and our hope in God. You see how some of these words all connect with love? Hope, endurance, confidence. These trials cause us to look at life differently. We talked about that. James says it like this. James chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. When troubles, problems, things, circumstances of life come your way. For you know... Sorry, it's verses 2, 3, and 4. Anyway, verse 3. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Your endurance has a chance to grow. Your endurance has to grow. So you just don't have endurance. Your endurance has to grow. That means obstacles get bigger. You know yourself. That as you go through life, there's some things that used to frighten you, don't frighten you now. You've grown into a place where you're able to push through some things and they don't scare you anymore. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now you can read it in any translation, it's going to say the same thing. That's a pretty profound statement, that your endurance will perfect you. Your ability to endure will complete you so that you need nothing. And so we have to understand that this endurance is really important. And love is a big part of that. And that faith is a big part of that. And being able to push through. James says, count it joy when problems come because your faith is tested. And with love as its base, our faith in Scripture and God can only get stronger. It gets put to the test. And because we push through, we don't quit, then we see that God's word will do what it says it will do. If we don't endure, we don't get to see or prove God. God's not scared of being put to the test. And I have all confidence. I say to all sorts of people, some of them just saved, some of them not saved, whatever. I still throw this out to people. It's like, throw out a fleece to God. Prove him. Prove him in some things. Put him to the test. Make up your own things and whatever and throw them all you want at God. Because I've been around and know enough with God and experienced enough of God and gone through enough things in God to know that God actually will come through. And that he has a way of communicating that you and I don't. It goes on here and he says, Now not all problems are bad problems. Not all trials are bad trials. They're still problems. They're still trials. Not all troubles are bad troubles, but they're still troubles. And as I said before, it's the lens that we look through determines how we see it. Problems and trials are simply opportunities for us to grow and to step into what God has for us. It's just an opportunity to grow into that next thing. When we see things differently, we approach things differently. If I take Ben and Nikki, they're doing the youth group. So Ben and Nikki are building a youth church. Says to Ben the other day, this is your church. Treat it like a church. It's like sow into them. Build your youth church. They will have problems, but they will be good problems because when you're building, you have growth and enlargement problems to deal with. Jack's a builder. He turns up at a job. Suddenly he's got to pull out a few more boards than he thinks. Sometimes someone nails something in the wrong place. It's just like, suddenly it's like, wow, this isn't fitting. And you got to sit down, you stand back, you look at this. How are we going to attack this thing? I know when they were doing a bit of work here, especially that roof over there, crash there. It's just like some things just about beat them. You got to sit back and have a look at how some things can be overcome. It's just a problem. It's a problem. And problems have to be overcome and you've got to push through. It's like, nah, someone else can do the roof. Someone else can do this. And sometimes it's like you say to a builder, look, I want to make some renovations. They go, no. I want to build a new house. Yes, I'll build it for you. I'll build a new house. Just give me the plans and I put everything together. But when you walk into someone else's mess, it's like you've got to make it meet. You got to make it work, you know, and it's like, And so problems are problems. Troubles are troubles. Being a Nicky will face tiredness, lack of money, naughty youth, lack of time, more help. You always want more. See how much time I've got? Am I over?
Yes.
I'm over. I'm 3 minutes over. Right. Upstairs, we have Rach and Rach doing church, doing kids' church. That's their church. That's their church. They're doing kids' church. It's like they're sowing in. They're going to grow this kids' church up there and minister and pour themselves into that. They will have problems. Probably parents. They will have things to overcome. The way some parents raise their kids. We have troubles and we have problems, but it's like a lot of things as God is building into our life. And growing us into what he has for us and our ministry and everything, there is things for us to overcome. But not everything is bad. Like if we look at it differently, trials and problems, they are there to change us, change our perspective sometimes. If you don't want to change, well, you've got a problem that you're going to have to overcome. You're going to have some things that you're going to bash in. And if you want to change everybody else, or the church, or the community, then you have a problem because it's not going to be straightforward. James and Danny are going to build the connect groups. Best of British. They will have problems. They've got Sarah over here. They've got Terry over here. And they've got me. They've got Steve and Melissa. They've got people that they're going to have to try and communicate some things with. You can do it, James. That's good. Nikki and the team doing mainly music across the road. We're building things. And I just want us to understand that endurance. So your faith is how much you believe what God's word says. But this love and ability that drives all of this helps us endure and to push through. And this ability to endure us to grow helps us to grow. When our endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. When our endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. When we have learned how to let God's love in all things rule our hearts, his love in all things, don't like your neighbor, don't like the shopkeeper, don't like whatever your boss, don't like someone at school, don't like whatever. When your love, when God's love in your heart overcomes all these things, we will have learned how to overcome every problem. That's what he's saying. Over every trial, overcome every circumstance. That's what he's saying. When endurance has fully developed you, when endurance has fully developed you, endurance is developing you, your person in Christ, your Christ man, your Christian self. When endurance has fully developed you, you will be perfect. And so there's a part of us that has to overcome and to push through and allow God to form us. The perfecting is seeing the answers and not the fear or the lack in anything. It's like now problems come. It's just like you're bigger than that. You're in the boat. There's a storm. You can sleep in the boat. Let everyone else worry. So why is Jesus able to do that? If Jesus needed to, he'd get out of the boat and walk. It just says, I'll leave a lot of you here and I'll walk home across the sea. There's nothing there to worry him. You see, because he's overcome all of the fears. His confidence in the Father and the relationship. And we say, yeah, but that's Jesus. It's like, he is the Son of God, the firstborn. You are a son and you are a daughter also. And the same inheritance that he got, you get. And the same things that he did and greater, you will do. Don't say, well, I'm less than. When God, Bible says, and we've looked at this, God wants to share his glory with you. That's not making you less than. We will have learned how to embrace change, to have stepped outside what we feel we are capable of. We will have learned how to listen to the Holy Spirit and be obedient and trust him. We will have overcome fear and what others think of you. Your faith and belief in God's word will have strengthened. So what things are we not facing, people? We're finishing with this. What things are we not facing, not dealing with, not overcoming, not enduring and pushing through? What things are we running away from? What things are we scared of? Scared means that you're going to run away from them. What are we scared to commit to? There's a thing, and I was just talking to a guy yesterday, he's actually the general manager of Canterbury Golf, and come out, we had had a big open day at golf that I have to run now, so we played together and talked together about a whole lot of things, and just like everything else, like fire brigades and golf clubs and everything else, there is a lack of commitment. Every charitable organization now is struggling with commitment. So what's happening in the generation now and in society today is there is a lack of commitment. People are scared of committing because it's going to ask something of them. More time than they're wanting to give. And I sat there and I listened. As I listened to this man talk yesterday, I come home and says to my wife, everything he said is everything I hear in every church conference. It's like we're just following a trend. It's like that has no place in our thinking in church. It's actually about looking to God. And if we try and solve the lack of commitment or the lack of youth, they're trying to chase youth. Every organization is trying to chase youth because their organizations are getting filled with old people. and they're wanting young people to join all the charitable organizations. What are we scared to commit to? What are we scared God will ask from us or of us? What are you scared God's going to ask of you if you commit to it and say, yes, Lord, I'll do it? If somebody comes to you and says, pray for me, what's your reaction? Well, I haven't got what it takes. No, so go and see someone else. It's like, pray with him. Jack was talking about before about the sozo. You know, why we are embracing sozo is because sozo is a wee bit easier. We've run, you know, care force programs and whatever, but you've just got to come into a program and have a facilitator and do a whole lot of things. With sozo, I've got to stay in the light, my wife tells me. With sozo, you can do one-on-one with people anywhere at any time. Coffee shop, at school, in your workplace, in your lunch break. And you can sit down and invite the Holy Spirit to take them on this journey and to show them the strongholds and the struggles and how to beat them. And we're going to learn how to do that as a church, so you can do that one-on-one anywhere. Simplifying, not counseling, just getting God to come in and answer people's problems for them. When God shows somebody something, that's revelation. You can talk to you, blue in the face, and I say, yeah, you're amazing, that's great, wonderful. Changes nothing. God changes people's hearts. I want to say, when you know someone really loves and cares for you, you feel safe. And you react to things differently because they're there with you, because you feel empowered. So another question today is, do you feel safe? Do you feel safe? Do you feel safe with God? Father, today we just thank you, Lord. Let's just stand. You're a good, good God, Father. We know that. We know you're a good God. We know you're a powerful God. We know, Lord, you're able to do amazing things, and we read about it. But Lord, we want this reality in our own hearts. We want the truth of that, Father, to resonate in our spirits and in our hearts, Lord, that we can feel safe. So that we can actually push through, be empowered to push through, to endure, to overcome. We thank you for that today, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would just come and enlighten, Father, Lord, this word. That you're actually helping us to endure. And as we come into this year, Father, Lord, we just ask that we would actually put aside our own reasoning, our own thoughts and how we see life and think things should happen, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that you would enable us and strengthen us. And Lord, reveal to us your true heart. Show us visions, dreams, pictures. Speak to us through your word. Allow us to see and to understand how much you love us, how much you believe in us. That we feel that empowerment, Lord, to overcome. We thank you for that in your wonderful name. There's a ton of scriptures there. I might give you them another time.